Blog Talk Radio.
From the rain-broken highways of the United States Southwest to the ongoing and unveiling Muslim threat inside America, and broadcasting from a short, squat, sign-covered, but wholly logical single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, good morning, 606. It is 21, the 21st day of July. It's, well, I always say it's nice outside, but of course it's the early morning, it's bound to be nice. The weather today, a little bit of, I don't really see any rain. There's a little chance of rain here, but 71 degrees right now. 98's the high, getting up towards triple digits, and 72's the low. Now, there was a lot of Dolores floating around the west, and there was a chance of getting more rain into L.A. County. But the movement that I saw was over a little bit over Arizona, not a ton over us, but you never know. There were some really heavy clouds last night, as I was coming home, that were in the, kind of the west part of the valley, northwest part of the valley. But anyway, stories today, Donald Trump refusing to really apologize, although he's toned it down. John McCain saying, I'm not a hero, but you and owe my followers an apology. You know what? I've been thinking about this last night. What if he doesn't apologize? Wouldn't that be great if he didn't apologize to somebody like John McCain, who acts like he's the true heart of the GOP, but is actually a giant failure on the national stage? Wouldn't it be great if he didn't apologize to John McCain and just let it lay there? You're somebody who uses your war experience and misuses it by having being a bad politician. How about that? We've got a phone call here. I think that is wholly fitting. I'm glad, you know, I could have been totally wrong in my analysis. That was just my gut. But our reactions to stuff are so much a product of how the media spins things. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Good morning to you. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Patty Riley.
Patty Riley. Good morning.
Yes. Are we still under a dictatorship?
Well.
I'm just asking.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go. I just called to find out.
Yes, that's an affirmative. Thanks for calling the mothership.
Thank you,
talk
Kelly.
To you later.
Have
bye-bye.
A good day.
You too. Bye-bye. That's good to get that out of the way early. All right. So. John McCain is part of this kind of herd of old bulls, of old bull, really, but these old elephants that refuse to die or go away, and they have to be pushed out of the herd. And I think it's appropriate to challenge some of our symbols. I mean, John McCain failed wildly when he was running against Barack Obama, and he did not make his service a point a huge point against Obama, who had never been in the military. John McCain has got this very, I was thinking about this last night, doing a little character or personality kind of analysis, trying to figure out where John McCain is coming from. He's one part like Marine or whatever his background, whatever service he was in, seems like a Marine, but one part of this kind of honor code, this old military honor code, which is in and of itself a beautiful thing. But then he's a populist. And he's not an American populist. He's a media populist. So he just dies. He loved to be the radical who stood up outside of the GOP. And then he brought this military code, like, I will never do this, that, or the other. I will not take advantage of this and my opponent. That's a failed combination, obviously, because he was not elected. But also, he seems confused. I think it was so intoxicating for him to be this famous media rebel that it went to his head. And I think being tortured for 5 years also was not a source of stability either. But anyway, I don't really have a problem with John McCain per se, except he should have never run for president. If you can't fully represent your party, don't run for president, John McCain. Don't run for president, Mitt Romney. Did Obama have any problem representing his party? No. So, anyways, Trump is surging. And this is what I'm thinking. It's like, what if we've got this, like, false, the media is this canary in the coal mine, supposedly. But they're not really. How many stories have you seen that you thought, man, this is going to be giant, and then they just disappear? Kind of like Benghazi. But Benghazi should have been a lot bigger because somebody in the administration – somebody's decisions led to here were the greatest, most powerful country with military force well within range of going and helping this Christopher Stevens 5 or 10 times by air. And what happens? Nothing. He dies. I mean, what's that about? You know, and we've never found out who gave up the stand down order, which either ultimately came from the president or from Hillary. And we're not allowed to know, right? What difference does it make? So, I mean, we're living in times of enormous strength, although we're cutting back on our military for reasons that don't make any sense. It's not because of the money, because we're wildly deficit spending. So any reason that the government gives, that this administration gives for not doing something that includes it's too expensive, you know that, because they're not afraid to spend like a drunken sailor, to continue the metaphor. All right, I'm going to throw some other headlines to you, except Trump is not done. That's the main thing. He surged to the lead. Maybe the man and woman on the street, not the tranny on the street, but just the man and woman on the street, are so sick of having the media decide everything and having the media crucify people that they're willing to give Donald Trump not just another chance, but to back him, to double down. You know, that's what you do in Vegas when you're on a losing streak. You double down. That's what I'm thinking. If he survives this, maybe it is the vampire stake in the heart of political correctness. What do you think? Somebody at some time had to take on political correctness and walk away a winner. Why not the Donald? All right, anyway, all right, that's my morning thoughts. All right, here is from the Washington Post. Trump surges to big lead in GOP presidential race. Yes, everybody, the person that everybody loves to envy and hate, Donald Trump, is in the lead. How does that make you feel? Frankie, are you choking on your morning biscotti? Here we go. This dang thing plays. It's not playing. It's not playing, but I'm saved by a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Kara.
Kara, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, one thing I like about this whole John McCain talking out of the ear thing is that I've seen people on the street really hanging out talking about politics. And they're concerned.
What are they saying?
Trump Trump speaks on a level that other people can understand. And that, they also talk about politics.
One of the things they're saying, the average person, if somebody comes up and says, "Hey, Bozo, how are you today?" They say they kind of come back with something. That's what the Donald does. People, especially in the GOP, go along and, you know, they get insulted and they have to call their media specialist and say, "Am I allowed to respond?" It's like,
that's
dude,
right.
It's just,
you're picking up their skins and work as individuals with a brain because they act like a whole herd of turtles saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the best in the world. Really? Anyway, it's all I got to say, but at least it's doing that. It's getting common people that would never talk about politics talking about it at the beer place, at the park.
Yeah.
And I like that because we need to talk about the issues.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Carrie. Have a good day. Sending hobos down the road talking to themselves about politics. I like it. All right, here's this clip. Another fake video. Why do they put these videos up that don't have any, like, some person talking? Anyway, all right, Trump's in the lead. Here's the thing. You spend your whole life trying to get into politics, never making a mistake, never doing anything crazy. Or if you do anything crazy, it's deeply buried. And then you get in higher and higher, like Marco Rubio, I think, is a superb example of this. Don't take risks. I'm Cuban. I run the Senate in Florida. He was running the Senate when I was there. He was like young, good-looking Cuban guy. And then he gets into national politics, and he loses his personality. And then he sees somebody else who's like just swinging blindly at the opposition, and it really upsets him. Because number one, he's taking the place that Marco Rubio was supposed to. Who is Marco Rubio? Is he like Barack Obama Jr., the guy without any experience? But he's also mad because he gets to say whatever he wants and get away with it. I mean, that's just got to be it. That's got to be part of this, is that people can't believe you can be yourself and be successful anymore. All right. 617. Kelly O'Connell, show AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, don't have the text line with me. Well, I won't even tell you what happened yesterday, but I went out to turn on the car, and all I heard was an ominous click, click. So I had to go get a battery charger last night, and I attached it and checked the alternator. I think it's goose is cooked. But anyway, yeah, we always all have to deal with crap like that. So anyway. We're going to be right back and talk about the Donald, have a few clips. I got so many stories, guys. I'm gagging on stories. I'm going to share them with you. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, it's Karen one more time. I just wanted to say, as far as military goes, there's Gomer Pyle, thank you for serving, and there was Forrest Gump. There's a hero.
Yeah, baby. It's Kelly O'Connor, Sam Las Cruces. How's it going? I've got Kara on the phone again. Kara, all right, you wanted to say something else on AM
Las
Cruces?
Yeah, I did, about this whole prisoner of war thing. Okay, there's a... Gomer Pyle, he was a great serviceman. Thank you for serving, Gomer. And then there was Forrest Gump. Now, there's a hero that did a lot with very little, but not everyone's a hero. People who do massively heroic things are a hero, and God bless everybody who served and died in the name of freedom.
Kara, kind of boil this down for the average listener. Are you saying get rid of these to acknowledge that the average person, the Forrest Gumps, the Gomer Pyles, are still – doing good stuff, or get rid of the TV images, or what?
There's a lot of people like Forrest Gump and Gomer Pyle doing military work, and then there's idiots like John McCain who say that they were prisoner of war and did really good in Vietnam when maybe he snitched everybody out and survived. Who knows?
Well, I mean,
I think he's a scuzz bucket.
Here's the thing: the skill set that you need to get through one thing may not translate into another. So the famous application of that is the rebel leader, the person who leads the rebellion may not be the person who needs to run the country. In John McCain's case, he's got this warrior ethos, this this incredible commitment to his values as a soldier. But as a senator, if you're in the GOP and you're not a conservative at some level, you're actually harming the movement.
Yeah, and they're like one voice that speaks for the party for which they stand and not the people for what they represent.
Yes, no, that's true. Thanks a lot, Kara. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks, you can call twice unless you're Mike, and then you can call 14 times. But anyway, it's nice Mike has shared his dog breeding activities with us. You can hear it in the background sometimes. So John McCain says, I got a little clip here for you on AM Las Cruces. I was just told I don't say AM Las Cruces enough. You can't say it enough. All right, here is from CNN. Trump says media mischaracterized comments. They probably did. Here's the thing. If he can live through this, maybe he is. Maybe he's like one of these people that gets exposed to massive amounts of radiation and just keeps going, and nobody knows why they survived. Here's from CNN. These dang clips never play when you want them to.
Now, McCain did also come out this morning, but his rhetoric was a lot more toned down the way you just heard from Donald Trump. Listen to this.
When Mr. Trump said that he prefers to be with people who are not captured, mm-hmm. Well, the great honor of my life was to serve in the company of heroes. I'm not a hero, but those who are my senior ranking officers, people like Colonel Bud Day, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, those that inspired us to do things that we otherwise wouldn't have been capable of doing, those are the people that I think he owes an apology to. The point here is that there are so many men and some women who served and sacrificed and happened to be held prisoner, and somehow to denigrate that in any way, their service, I think, is offensive to most of our veterans. The best thing to do is put it behind us and move forward and just express our gratitude to those who have served and sacrificed. Who are the real heroes? They're the 55,000 names that are down on the wall engraved in black granite that I stop by sometimes early in the morning and when the sun's going down.
Now, anybody who has watched John McCain, the politician, knows that he is not afraid of a fight. He is.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Does John McCain, having failed, having lost, having had a race in front of him which he could have won, and he basically blinked, in my opinion. He was on the verge of becoming president. And then there is this crazy story that came out. I never could figure out what happened in the immediate aftermath of this meeting that they had with Barack Obama and John McCain and all these other people, when we were on the verge of total economic collapse, supposedly. We had this meeting, and after the meeting, Brock he's up in the polls. And I found out a little bit later, and I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to mention it again. When they went into this meeting, the only person who had the notes of what was going to happen in this meeting was Barack Obama. And the reason that he had these notes was because somebody from Goldman Sachs had delivered it to him. Now, if you think that this president is an outsider or like against Wall Street or whatever he ran on, that's obviously not true. But what happened is, in the midst of trying to deal with this crisis, Barack Obama goes after John McCain and cuts his feet out from under him, basically, confronts him or contradicts him in this meeting in such a way that McCain can't do anything and he looks like a fool. And McCain, being the kind of person that he is, full of false, the military standard that he upholds, he's got this like warrior ethos, this warrior code that he follows, but he's not in the military anymore. He's in politics. He should have come out and let people know what happened. That's his duty. Instead, he just sits back. Oh, I'll just take it. And really what happens is the entire country takes it because John McCain won't stand. You know, John McCain is like famous for, I'm not going to go down to the gutter. But then he turns around and he plays this populist game where he embraces all this crap that's not part of the conservative vision. And he just is like, you know, absolutely just selling out the party because he doesn't understand when he went from being this rebel that drove around in this truth bus or whatever the heck he called it, going from that to the leader of the party, he had to change and he didn't do that. But he's failed at leading the party as a conservative. The GOP doesn't need moderates and people who like compromise on the values or the convictions, because that's already represented in the Democratic Party. You need two groups coming together. One side believes its thing. The other side believes its thing. They hammer it out and they make it. There's where the compromise happens. You don't compromise beforehand. And that's what John McCain has always done. And that's why he's harmed the party. And now I want to know, is he going to try to crucify Trump to make his point? And once again, John McCain, are you going to once again desecrate your party in the name of whatever the heck it is that you stand for, this kind of weird combination of the Marine oath and trying to be popular? But he's not popular anymore, because once he ran for president, that the way he was treated, this legend just went down the toilet so fast. He didn't even see it coming. What a fool. All right. But he could have been the president. He could have stopped all this crazy policy making and this like off the cuff leadership style that has so spectacularly failed. And even the achievements of this president are not achievements. They're like, going in and pulling out pillars, pulling out like weight bearing structures in a house. At some point, the house is going to go down. Anyway, here we go. A little bit more on Trump not apologizing to McCain. on AM Las Cruces.
Donald Trump, not only has he taken off the gloves going after John McCain, he is now doing it even more so, as you mentioned, against the media, insisting that part of the backlash is because his comments were taken out of context.
Next sentence was, he is a war hero. I said that, but they never want to play it, and you don't want to play
it. Well, why
would
you say the first thing?
Excuse me. You started it off, hey, Matt. Savannah started it off by saying, I said that he wasn't a war hero. I didn't say that. And if you would have let it run just another 3 seconds, you would have said that I said very clearly he is a war hero. I have absolutely no problem with that. What I do have problems with is that he called 15,000 people that showed up for me to speak in Phoenix, he called them crazies because they want to stop illegal immigration, and they were insulted. I do have a problem with what he's doing on the border. He's terrible. And I do have a problem with the fact with the illegal immigration is a disaster, and he's doing a horrible job for the vets.
Now, you could probably glean from that.
Well, glean from it what you want. He's not going to be pushed around. Maybe it's exactly what we need, huh? You ever think of that? I was reacting along with the stupid media cycle. There was so much exultation in the GOP when it looked like Trump was going down. Marco Rubio, you're an embarrassment. I'm sorry to say that because I do like Marco. But come on, somebody at some point has to stand up to political correctness, or we are so dead. Dead as ducks. Dead as a duck. All right, so we'll come back and talk about this. Just, well, let's switch gears a little bit. There's so many stories I got on the line today. And just to throw you out a headline here. But anyway, we'll come back and talk about some headlines. All right, I want to get into this kid that went on this murderous rampage. He's looking for himself. Well, I guess if you're a Muslim radical and you're looking for yourself, if you're lost, if you're depressed, you go out and kill people. Anyway, I do want to thank the law office of Sam Cain for sponsoring the show. In pain, call Cain. Sam Cain, by the way. 526-5263. He's specializing in personal injury, car wrecks, motorcycles, bicycles, trucks, cars, anything like that. A very successful law office down there. It's off of Amador or Loman, between Loman and Amador. Anyway, free consultation if you go in there and mention the Kelly O'Connell Show. All right. Number, yeah, 526-5263. There is an article that just came out that I was looking at the BBC website, and I wanted to mention it before I forgot. Arctic ice grew by a third after cool summer in 2013. Listen to this. Arctic ice grew by a third after cool summer in 2013. This is notable, number one, because we keep getting these, you know, hottest year ever. How many times can we be told it's the hottest year ever? Right, where supposedly the frogs in the kettle getting cooked to death. In the meantime, Antarctic ice was previously reported to be thicker than ever recorded, larger, and now the Arctic is bouncing back. Supposedly the Antarctic was growing any sea ice, but the Arctic, our part of the end of the earth was melting, and now it's not true. That they say it has to do with a correlation for how long the melt season is, but it's up 33%. That's exactly one third. So what does that tell you? It tells you that these people that are fear mongering are full of crap. And this is anyway, I don't even want to get into this. I'm so sick of the GOP. The GOP thinks that it's going to move forward in life by conscripting and accepting all of these so-called facts. I don't understand these people. I don't understand somebody like the president who's convinced that global warming is happening with all of this contrary evidence out there. Whatever happened to having a scientific mind, you know, kind of holding back your opinion just a little bit, having an open, you know, open mind used to be the sign of an educated person, you know, I'm kind of leaning in this direction, but I've got an open mind. Instead, now if you have an open mind, you're a rube, you're a fool. You can only be sophisticated, you can only be a smart person if you totally buy into this stuff. And once you buy into it, the price is trillions of dollars. If we went ahead and followed this stuff, trillions of dollars of investment would follow. And what would we have? The temperature of the Earth has already stabilized the last 20 years. Scientists tell us that. Now the sea ice is growing by leaps and bounds. Then a article comes out saying that the sun cycle by the year 2020 is going to be dead, and that we're going to enter into kind of a new ice age or a little cooling period. But in the meantime, we have to be told every single freaking day disasters around the corner. Hottest year on record. Next year will be even hotter. This is the craziness that is driving and being driven by this media cycle that is just like so corrupt and so crushing. All right. So anyway, Chattanooga gunman's troubling spiral fueled by drugs, booze, and jihad. I'll get to that in a second. First, we have a call. Thanks for the call, Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Please turn down your radio.
Hello, this is Ted.
Ted, could you turn down your radio?
Yeah.
Please.
It's off.
Oh, okay.
It's turned off.
I heard an echo. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just want to point out that it's a proven fact that the weather and climate can change on a dime. If you Google the year without a summer, I believe it was 1816. They had a big volcanic eruption.
Yeah.
And ice didn't melt in the northern part of the U.S. There was a big famine around the world because seeds didn't germinate.
Hello, you know, that's the year that the River Thames in London froze over, right? And it never thawed.
Exactly. Yeah. So what I see is the Chinese are almost egging us on to go ahead and tie the other hand behind our back with our manufacturing.
Well, they do love their eggs, egg foo young, et cetera. But I don't know. Why don't we like work on stuff that's actually a problem right in front of us? We're so corrupt in this, or we're so like, you know, caught up in this decadent culture that we fantasize about the apocalypse. You know,
we think we're Norway or something. We're trying to make everything so clean and sanitary. Pretty soon, we won't even be able to make pizzas over here.
That's a good point, especially charcoal-fired pizzas. Thanks, Ted. Have a good day. Good points by Ted. All right, let's take a little break here. It's not really a break. We're coming back and talking about this kid, this poor lost little Muslim kid who he was depressed. He didn't know what he was searching for an identity. So of course he did the most logical thing. He pulled out a gun and started shooting people in the name of Allah. We'll be right back. Lady White, I'm on the TV. Yeah, she had another quality. The way he used to love. And I know you never read him. All right, so I just had this brain flash. The brain flash told me that aren't you sick of the GOP self-sacrificing? Aren't you sick of the GOP, you know, like attacking people? Like Sarah Palin was a vice presidential candidate, but of course she was impure, she was stupid, there had to be a human sacrifice. Why? Because the left said she was stupid. What does the left do when their hero is just a total crackpot? They celebrate it. They don't talk about it. They don't criticize it. They accept it. They make the best out of it. This president, is a total crackpot. His ideas are absolutely crazy. They're ruining the country. Do they get up and wring their hands over it? No. They pretend that all of his decisions are out of this, like, profound, like he goes and he, you know, every night he goes and he meets with the energy that runs the universe. He gets down and meditates or whatever. His ideas are ruining America. Just the illegal immigration, 2.5 million illegal immigrants spread all across the United States, even criminals that go and kill people. He refuses to even mention it. Right. He's too busy letting drug dealers out of prison. Anything that he can do that is a safe bet, high success in terms, in other words, outside of Congress, he doesn't like to go to Congress. He doesn't know how Congress works. He's not studied it, obviously. He doesn't have a liaison with the House, for example. He will make an executive decision and act like he's the world's smartest person. Doesn't matter how it turns out. The main thing is to make the decision. Do these guys apologize? Do they wring hands? Do they pound, you know, do they get up and say, well, a president has to be sacrificed? No. It's just people like Marco Rubio and John McCain and all these other people who can't stand the fact Trump is 25%, 26% popularity, and the number two GOP person is 13. All right. So anyway, switching gears, take a page out of the Obama book. Why not? He does whatever he feels like. He gets away with it. Chattanooga gunman's troubling spiral fueled by drugs, booze, and jihad. How about this? Chattanooga gunman's troubling spiral fueled by the Quran. Would that be inappropriate, politically incorrect? Check it out.
It's arriving today in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to try to determine the motive in last week's horrific shooting spree that left 5 service members dead. Good morning to you. This is Happening Now. I'm John Scott.
And I'm Heather Childers in for Jenna Lee. Nice to be with you this morning.
Good to have you here, Heather.
Well, so far, investigators, they have found nothing. Actually, they've found no link so far linking the gunman, 24-year-old Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz, to overseas terror groups. But some of his writings and interviews with his parents, they reveal a disturbing picture of a man who had reportedly failed a drug test, was preparing for bankruptcy, and was facing an upcoming court appearance. And now memorials are taking place to remember the 5 men who were murdered.
Senior national correspondent John Roberts live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with the latest for us. John. John, Patty Ann, good morning to you. Activity going on behind me here outside of the recruiting center. FBI has finished up its job. People are now putting up a tent because this community memorial that's sort of organically grown over the last few days looks like it's going to be here for a time, and hundreds of.
All right. So anyway, you get this thing. Here's the interesting thing about this story to me. In the Middle East, you don't have functional economies. Why not? Because it's socialism, believe it or not. When I started studying the Middle East and the economic model over there, I was not shocked to find out that their model is socialist. The Ba'ath Party, you know, what's the guy's name that we killed? Hussein. Funny how you forget people's names. But anyway, Ba'ath Party there, Ba'ath Party in Syria. Pan-Arab socialism. Why are they socialistic? Socialism is radical atheism. Marxism is radical anti-God, and Islam is radical for God. Well, in a funny way, they both agree. They both have to have total domination of a society. And so there are socialists over there, meaning, what's my point? The non-functional economy. Socialist economies don't work. Look at Greece, you know. Look at what's happening to America. You've got 100 million people out of work in this country, and people are clucking and smiling, saying how strong the economy is. By the way, my sister's a nurse in California, and she said they are looking for what did she say? They're looking for people to do computer programming. And she said there's help signs up all over the place. She lives outside of San Francisco. But the rent out there is catastrophically high. You control rent, it goes up. Funny how that works. But anyway, that's it. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and talk about this a little bit more. the gunman who was looking for himself, who says, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'll go out a martyr. I'll go out a hero. Good Lord. That's what they have in the Middle East. They have failed economies where the people are gorging on propaganda all the time, anti-Israel, anti-U.S. sentiments. Is it a surprise that they go off, you know, like this? Like there's one of these guys going off like a tea kettle every 5 minutes. Just the way that I fell down the Hey, it's Kelly.
I have a quick question, Kelly. This is Kara.
Hey, what's
okay,
up?
If jihad is holy war, why are these Muslim terrorists killing military people and not Christians? If it's a one true God battle, why are they picking military targets? That sounds like it's more than holy war.
Well, because there was a call to go after the military by ISIS, but I mean, why not? I mean, these are official military targets, and...
Yeah, I just don't understand, because is it about Allah being the one true God, or the God of Abraham being the one true God? They should be hitting religious targets and not military targets.
These are religious
targets.
It's not
more than a holy war.
These are. I'll bring your point up.
Okay, well, I was just curious.
All right,
I don't know.
Thank you. All right, so I just got a phone call. The person said, why are they going after military targets when it's a religious war? Why don't they go after Christians? Good question. It was mentioned when Doug called in, and I'm going to have Doug back on some point this week. It was mentioned that from the medieval period forward, we get the idea of the nation state, and the nation state is what we have in Europe, and it's kind of been applied around the world. We applied the nation state theory, as a matter of fact, after World War II, to create these countries in the Middle East that were never really countries, you know. So anyway, it's our theory, the nation state. Islam does not have nation states. What Islam has is Dar es Salaam and Dar es Harbi, the house of God and the house of war. That's their view of the world. You're either in the house of God, you're either a Muslim, or you're in the house, you're a Harbi, you're an enemy combatant. So when they come over and kill, that's what people don't understand. They don't understand these random attacks. They're not random to a Muslim mind, to a classical Muslim mind, not a modern Muslim mind. A modern Muslim would give up violence. There's no purpose behind it in the modern world. But in the classical world, the purpose is to take over the world in the name of Allah, for Muhammad. So when you're killing people in the West, Westerners, you're doing it in the name of Allah, because anybody who is not in the house of Dar es Salaam, in theory, can be killed. Now, how they take over a land is they go in, they subjugate it, and they put people. The people don't understand this idea of being put to the sword on religion. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Islam is not fundamentally, no pun intended, but it's not fundamentally a religious movement. It's a political movement that has religious. What do I mean by that? What I mean is they go into a country and they subjugate everyone. They put everyone to the sword, to the gun, whatever. And they say, will you bow your knee to Allah? If you do that, then you're either a Muslim or you're a Harbi. Or not a Harbi, but a Dhimmi. A person of the book. You're either Jewish or Christian. All of the rest of the people can be killed. The Dhimmis are protected. But it's a political subjugation that asks for a religious conversion. But if you don't want to convert, you don't have to, as long as you're a Christian or a Jew. But that is how they see the world. They don't believe in nation states. So that's why these people have a tendency to follow their God, because they don't have the concept that it, in other words, they haven't been through the Enlightenment, the Reformation. They don't, all of the stuff that's happened in Europe in the last 1,000 years doesn't really mean anything to them. They haven't gone through it themselves. And so they see everything in terms of war. You're either fighting for God or you're fighting for Shaitan, Satan. That's how they, that's their, you know. Anyway, so when they're killing these military people, number one, ISIS or Al-Qaeda or whatever has already for military people to be killed. And it's perfectly wonderful for them because they can go up to military people unarmed in this country and just shoot them like a shooting gallery. But they have a view of the world divided into two things. You're either Muslim or you're not Muslim. And if you're not Muslim, you can be killed. Now, there's more details to it, of course, than that, but I'm just trying to lay out why they would go after the military. And they also see the American military as Christian, too. Christianity is also a movement in their mind, a political movement. It is not just religious. They have nothing like a Christian conversion. I'll tell you a little bit about that when we come back. Taking a break on the RAM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It is 7:06, 21st of July. The high today, 97. The low in the low 70s. All right, so we were talking about Islam a little bit. Let me just make a point here. Islam, more than anything else that I've studied, is something that I can't really explain to you what it's like to read books on this and have facts like jump off the page and you're like, wow, I've never heard that before. You've got to go about it kind of like, you know, you've got basically, if you wanted to study it, get all the books that you can get your hands on various topics and then just kind of start poring over them. And let me give you one example. If you study Islamic law, what they call Sharia, which means the way to the watering hole, basically the path. One of the things that you'll find is that it seems disorganized. Now, Western law was disorganized until you've got the attempts to organize the Roman law. Although that's from way back. Western law was kind of disorganized, and then you had people like Lord Cook and Blackstone kind of organizing it topic by topic. And now today we've got this enormous movement that we're really kind of at the end of this codification. So, you know, Napoleon brings in the Napoleonic Code. But before that, going back to maybe the year 1000, there were already efforts to kind of organize, codify and everything. That's one of the hallmarks of a modern society. And Islam, the law is not only codified, but it's just kind of piecemeal. And so they don't have anything that we would consider to be penal law. Penal law is the area of the law that talks about punishment and penance and rehabilitation and sentencing and the logic of sentencing. And you know, because the state has a vested interest in making sure that crimes are punished proportionally and also in a regulated manner such that, you know, one person doesn't get a life sentence for a jaywalking and then a person who gets convicted of murder doesn't get a year and then, you know. So it is an attempt. It's if you think of it from this way, the Enlightenment was an attempt to bring science and logic into society. and has had a massive impact. The Islam has never been through the Enlightenment, so all of the things that you associate with the Enlightenment, they've never produced. And if they have stuff like that in their society, it's stuff that they've gotten from the West. So the upshot here is that in sentencing, we have something called common law, which is a natural law thing. Natural law means there's a law above the law. They believe in a law above the law, but they don't believe like we do in you take a principle from one area of the law and you put it in another one. That's why they have, for example, the punishment for theft is always what they call judicial amputation, cutting off hands and feet. And if you go on YouTube, you can find you can find videos of this, you know, these people getting their hands and feet cut off because of the fact that supposedly that they did this theft or whatever. Now, there's a couple of very strange things about Muslim society, one of which is, for example, everybody knows that they have a real problem with homosexuality. What is not advertised is that homosexuality is rampant in these countries because of various reasons, but one of the main reasons is because they separate the sexes. For example, there is no such thing as dating in the Muslim world, in the traditional Muslim world. So you have to be set up in a, you know, it has to be an arranged marriage. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off the subject. So they see things radically differently than we do. And Breaking news. There is new videos from Planned Parenthood, horrible new videos. An insider, a defector, blows the whistle on how loopholes open the doors for fetal sales. And so I'm not going to get into that today. I'm going to do some research and present it to you tomorrow. We're, you know, we have less than half of an hour left, but God. How do you get into a situation where a lot of people, at least half the people in this country, feel like abortion is just simply wrong? The other half get their win at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has become the supreme enabler in America. they get their law and then they run with it. And they're so sick. The people that run these programs are so mentally ill. They're so depraved that they end up not just, you know, cutting these kids to shreds and pulling them out of the womb, but now they're trying to preserve the body parts and sell them. What does the term ghoulish mean? I'm just going to look it up right here. It has something very close to this sense. Resembling or characteristic of a ghoul, morbidly interested in death or disaster. This is like cannibalism, isn't it? I mean, what kind of a group of people get excited and advocate for abortion? You know, like it's the greatest thing since the free speech. And then that's not enough for them. They've got to end up like totally debasing, just taking the body parts of tiny human beings and selling and pretending them they're not humans. And then trying to preserve these human parts. I mean, can anybody disagree with this? They're valuable to the extent that they're intact, resembling adult human parts, right? But they're not human, of course. They're just blobs of tissue. But by the way, we'd like a heart. We'd like a lung. We'd like leg tissue. Can you think of anything more sick than doing that? Killing an infant, killing a baby that's too small to defend itself and then selling the parts? And all the while acting like you're George Washington or Thomas Jefferson. I mean, doesn't that just make you want to vomit? We'll take a little break here on that note and be right back. You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, meantime. You hear any of the show? You hear that Muslim guy calling? You want to talk about some legal stuff? It's 7:41. It's going to be 97 degrees today. It's going to be pretty hot out there. So anyway, got a guest in the studio. But before we talk to him, the sponsor of the show, what would you think about if I told you there's a gay guy in England who's doing everything he can to impregnate as many women as possible? It's Kenzie Kilpatrick. And he's helping out, especially his lesbian friends, and no-nonsense sperm donor. So if being gay is genetic, they could have a kind of a gay wave over there. All right, so let's, I guess we'll continue on with this topic of the ghoulish, cannibalistic abortion selling of parts. Isn't that great? if you're supporting Planned Parenthood, like Warren Buffett does, to the tens of millions of dollars that you know that you're supporting a good cause that actually cuts up babies and then sells the parts on the internet or wherever they sell them. But anyway, we want to thank the Sam Kane Law Office for supporting the show, and we actually have Sam Kane in the studio. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Kelly.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
And we have your young son here.
My son here, Jonah.
Jonah, good morning.
Jonah, good morning. Speaking in the microphone.
Hello.
Good morning, Jonah. Oh, morning. Okay. So anyway, we've been talking. Well, I've been doing a little ads on personal injury, and so I'm just curious. How do you know if you have a case? You've been injured, but being injured isn't enough. How do you know if you've got a personal injury case?
Kelly, a personal injury usually involves a car accident, motorcycle accident, slip and fall, any kind of an injury that results from the negligence of somebody else. What we do at my law office is we offer free consultations. You can come in if you've been in a car accident, if you've been in a motorcycle accident, any kind of an accident that you've been in, that you've received injuries, just come on in. You don't have to schedule an appointment. You can walk right through the front door. We're located across the street from the bowling alley, 1018 East Amador. Come on in. Free consultation, no obligation. And let's talk about ways that we can make you whole again. Or we can compensate you for your injury. A lot of folks that have been involved in car accidents or motorcycle accidents, they attempt to negotiate with the insurance company directly. I tell those folks, if we cannot beat the offer that the insurance company has made, we will not take a percentage.
That's like trying to negotiate with ISIS directly.
You're right, Kelly. It's a team of experts. They've got lawyers working for them, and you will never win trying to negotiate without an attorney. And like I said, if you've been doing that, and the insurance company has made an offer, you bring that offer into my law office. If we can't beat that including receiving a contingency, then we won't get paid.
Now, a lot of people might say, well, I've been injured, but I don't know. Maybe it might have been my fault. I'm not sure. Maybe it was somebody else's fault. I really don't even understand how it all works. What would you say to that person?
I think at a minimum, they can come in for a free, no obligation, absolutely free consultation, and we can look at your case. If it turns out that you don't have a case, I'll be sure and tell you that. But at a minimum, you can come on in, and we'll analyze that for you free of no charge. And the way personal injury works is we do these on a contingency, which means that you don't have to pay us a penny in the middle or the beginning, middle, or end until you receive some money. And if you don't receive any money, then of course we don't get paid.
All right. So a lot of people will say, you know, personal injury is distasteful. It's a terrible thing. I mean, you know, it's a bad area of the law. What's your response to that?
My response to that is we are helping a lot of Las Cruces out there that have come in. They've got a lot of medical bills out there. I had a guy come in that was at his in-law's house that almost cut his hand off with the circular saw. He had about $50,000 worth of medical bills, couldn't pay him. The hospitals weren't willing to work with them or negotiate with them, and they were planning on filing a lawsuit, and we were able to get him some money for that injury. We were able to get all of his medical bills paid, and we were able to send him out the door with a little bit of money for his children.
So it's not necessarily making millions of dollars. A lot of times it's just getting treatment for your injuries.
Absolutely. That's another thing we do at the Kane Law Firm is we have a group of doctors that will work with a letter of protection, which means that we don't have to pay them anything. Clients don't have to pay them anything until the case settles. And most importantly, our clients are getting the medical treatment that they need resulting from the injury. And then that's really the most important thing is they're getting medical help. They're getting their bills paid. And that's what we're in the business of doing.
Okay, and this is one last thing to remember in this society. We've picked up this model of no-fault insurance where everybody is supposed to be insured. Now, believe it or not, there's something like 50% of the people out there driving around in the city that are not, that are uninsured, which is absolutely crazy. But here's the thing. In the no-fault model, the idea is that everybody is covered one way or another. It's not necessarily as much as that it is at who is at fault. It's trying to give an umbrella coverage to everyone in case there is an accident.
Well, and you're right, Kelly. A lot of folks are driving out there without insurance. And I always recommend to anybody that I speak to, always make sure that you have uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage. It's about $12 more a month. You could carry a $50,000, $100,000 policy very, very, very inexpensively. And so if you are in a car accident and you have received injuries and the driver that is responsible for the accident does not have insurance themselves, we can make a claim against your uninsured motorist coverage. Under New Mexico law, your insurance company is prohibited from raising your rates to compensate you for that accident.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate you sponsoring the show.
Kelly, thank you very much. You know, I'm proud to say this on the air. I think you're going to go nationally.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Kelly, you're great. You're awesome.
I'm sorry, my headphones are broken. No, I appreciate you saying that. No, you know, this is the craziest story, but when I started out, I was doing internet radio with Canada Free Press, and I was telling Sam about it, and he had actually offered to pay to put me on the air, as, you know, just kind
That's
of
right.
friends and everything, and so I was touched by that, and then it just so happened that KOBE was looking for somebody, but anyway, in pain, call Kane, and remember, Samuel Kane, there's no replacement, there's no secondary, there's only one Kane, Samuel Kane.
Thank
folks,
you, Kelly.
Yes, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sponsoring the show. And folks, we're going to be right back here. Talk about the few little embers. I got some weird stories for you. We'll be right back.
Down on the river, you're stopping your whole everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double ball time. Get a new ring.
It's Kelly here. I was just telling my guest, Sam Kane of the Sam Kane Law Firm, that my sister is a nurse. I was mentioning my sister was a nurse in California. She told me a story last night that was so unbelievable. I had to make her repeat it a couple of times. They had a person come into the emergency room who'd been in a car wreck, and his eyes were all screwed up. And she said what had happened is there was a motorcyclist going down the road somewhere around where she lives, somewhere around San Francisco, and there had the motorcyclist was weaving in and out of traffic like they often do. There was a guy driving down the street in a car. He was not paying attention. He was drinking, or had been drinking, and there was a collision between the motorcycle and the car, and this guy's arm got cut off and went through the window at such speed that it hit this guy in the head and literally knocked his eyes, which my sister said, knocked his eyes asunder. So, the motorcyclist in the meanwhile also lost his head, which was still inside of the motorcycle helmet, and it rolled down the road like 100 feet. And I said, did the other guy live? Because they did Flight for Life, and she said he lived, but he's locked up now. And I said, for what? And because he was drinking. He had been drinking. So motorcyclist is dead, decapitated. And the car driver is in jail. And I said, what are they doing about his eyes? And she said, they're working on that. So they're trying to get his eyes. I guess it hit his arm hit him in the head so hard, it really knocked his eyes like so hard that they figure out a way to do an operation on and pull his eyes back down. All right, here's another weird story. Florida man is accused of shooting his stepdaughter's 16-year-old boyfriend in the face because he didn't like him. Boy visiting girlfriend's house was met by stepfather Alvin Knight at the door. 50-year-old was with a friend, and both were armed with shotguns. Victim pulled a gun towards him, and Knight pulled the trigger, grazing his head. Oh, he got lucky there. Knight was charged with aggravated battery. Knight looks like an angry guy to begin with, so... Anyway, all right, so we have talked about Islam. You heard Saeed called in today to defend Islam, but one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was that he is not a part of the Sunni or the Shia movement. He's on his own. He's reading the Quran on his own. So what I would like to know is if you're reading the Quran on your own in America, are you more than likely to be peaceful because the culture is peaceful? Whereas if you're reading it in Syria or Iran or wherever you're reading it, are you more likely to be influenced by the culture to be more peaceful? And I think that's probably just as likely. I mean, you could, the Quran is a very long book, and you can find support for many different things in there. And, but my question is, if there's an attack that's related to religion, or if you hear that a bomb blows up and has killed somebody in a, you know, just somebody has a bomb and blows themselves up, why do we always assume that it is? Why do we always assume that it's Islam? And the answer to that is because it usually is Islam. All right. So a few more stories for you on the way out the door. Why is the Pope so obsessed with the devil? I've been studying the Pope, and he talks about demons continually. Why is this? Man, why is he so into climate change? Why? There's something different about this Pope. Some people claim that he's a Marxist. I've been studying this Pope and the other Pope, the Pope that had left before Benedict. There is an extraordinary claim that Benedict was gay. He has a boyfriend named Gorgeous George, supposedly, who's got a very weird situation. He works during the day in the Vatican household of this current Pope, Francis. At night, he goes and spends the night with the other Pope. He lives with the other Pope. This guy is, you know, talk about like Bo Jackson's got nothing on this guy playing two sports. Gorgeous George, during his days with Francis, in the evening, he's spending his time with Benedict. And even though Benedict lashed out at the gay cabal that he blamed for forcing him out, variously. He also said that he had a religious vision that told him to resign, the first pope to resign in 600 years. Some people say that he is living with this man, living in sin. It's all very interesting. In the meantime, the Pope Francis has been called a Marxist. Anyway, I'm going to do a portion of the show because I know there's a lot of Catholics out there who might find this intriguing. And your hands, folks. Has he escaped from the, is he off the reservation? We're going to find out about this when I come back. I want to thank the guest today, Sam Kane. Sam Kane Law Office in Payne. Call Kane 526-5263. It's a free consultation. And thanks for tuning in. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And I'll see you in 22 hours. Ciao. But you don't see too many faces.